The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Two-A-Days in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at EJ is the real, at John Snow, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And, if you missed the first hour, lots of good stuff. Lots of football. Talked about AJ's fight. That's about it.
Okay.
I think that covered it.
I think that's about it. Yeah. We got plenty more football to talk to.
We do.
By the way.
We have to go through all of the...
An obnoxious amount of football left.
Yeah. So, why don't we do that?
Okay.
We'll start off with the early games. Which,
by the way, the NFL did a good job this week. I've always said they need to move one of those noon kickoff games to the midday games because they always seem like they've got it's always a little lopsided. There's too many games and not enough midday games.
Right.
I think they did a good job this week of balancing it out.
They did.
I think there was five games going on at 3 o'clock. That was perfect.
Yeah, it's always more entertaining when you've got more.
Oh yeah.
All right, we'll start off with. The game that kind of kicked my butt yesterday. I was 4-3-1 on the plays I put on my website, 4-2-1 on actual bets, but I was only 1-1-1 on big plays. I got very lucky on because the Dolphins went to 7, and I got a nice backdoor there because of the dead quarterback.
Ooh,
I did
very
not,
lucky.
I did not come close.
I had Pats at
close on Saints Giants.
The over?
Going over, yeah.
Yeah, I
did not see that coming, and not a very fun game to watch, but Giants are 2-0 and looking pretty good in that division.
Yeah, in a very winnable division, and I said at the beginning of the year, I think the Giants are the best team, and I expected better of them yesterday. And really, when you look at their numbers, you see that Eli had 368 yards passing. You would expect that they would have put up some big numbers, but they didn't. There was a part of that is on their decision making because they get down to like the 5 yard line, and instead of kicking a field goal, they go for it on
right.
Fourth and three. I mean, there was some strange things happening, but at the end of the day, a win is a win for the Giants, and the Saints fall to 0-2, and I really think they're in for a really long season, like picking top five or six in the draft type of season.
And they're kind of in an awkward place because clearly they're in rebuilding mode.
But they don't want to get rid of Drew Brees.
Right. Yeah, you've got a 37-year-old quarterback who can still play.
Right.
And that's just not a... Not a good situation to be in.
They have so many salary cap issues.
Yeah,
it's a disaster there.
They have they've really screwed that up, to be honest with you. And they've got what, $40 million in dead cap money? I
yep.
think is the number I saw. Titans go in and beat the Lions 16-15. Two not very good teams, but give Marcus Mariota credit for rallying them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it looked like they were dead in the water, but the Lions, it's their fault for never taking advantage of a game that was that. They seemed comfortably in control of, but they kept kicking field goals. And
right.
You know, when you settle like that, something bad can happen. And sure enough, it did. And Mariota had a good couple drives. Andre Johnson had a game-winning touchdown catch. Doesn't happen very often, but
no.
He's actually alive. And DeMarco Murray actually played pretty well.
A 60-yard run.
Yeah, pretty good day for him.
Cowboys go in and beat the Redskins 27-23. Dak Prescott was effective, didn't make mistakes. Kirk Cousins made mistakes. Difference in the game.
Yeah, and there's people talking about maybe Colt McCoy needs to be getting looks instead of Kirk Cousins, and maybe that's the case. I mean, that's a like I said at the beginning, that's a very winnable division for anybody. The Redskins starting out 0-2 is not going to make it easy for them, but I'd still say it's not possible, or it's not impossible for them to get back in it, but something has to be better at quarterback for them. And Kirk Cousins did not look very good yesterday.
Yeah, and a lot of talk that, you know, there's issues with him in the room and everything else. He's back to being the Kirk Cousins he's been his entire career, with the exception of that stretch of games last season.
And the problem is, Kirk Cousins, I think, would be one of the better backup quarterbacks you can have in the league. The other problem for the Redskins is Colt McCoy is a very good backup quarterback. And when you've got two very good backup quarterbacks, it means that you don't really have a guy who should be a starter, unfortunately. Yeah. And that's where the Redskins are.
Patriots beat the Dolphins 31-24. This game, Jimmy Garoppolo was playing out of his mind. And they were going to run off and hide and win this thing by a bunch. He gets hurt. You're down to a third-string rookie quarterback. They hold on to win. But the Dolphins were just getting manhandled. I think Garoppolo, I know it's only two games, but that guy can play for somebody.
Ryan Tannehill sucks at football. I don't care what anybody tells me, and I said this yesterday on Twitter, he is the worst player in the league that still has people who try to convince you he's good. If you watch Ryan Tannehill play, you can look at box scores and you can send me stats, that's fine. If you watch Ryan Tannehill play, there's no way you think he's good. There's no way. He's not. He's the worst. And people still try to convince me that Ryan Tannehill can play. He sucks. And did they have a chance to? Did he get them back in the game? Sort of, once Garoppolo died. But up until Garoppolo died, I think he had 25 yards passing. Yeah. And it was like 21-0.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so ineffective. The Patriots, this is really the best-case scenario for the Texans.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo comes in and plays like he did yesterday, the Texans would have been in for their toughest game of the season. This game is, I think the Texans may be, they may be favored.
They are favored, actually.
Are they?
Early
okay.
line, 2.5.
Yeah,
I think it might be a little bit of an overreaction, but
this is the best case scenario for the Texans. And honestly, the way this division's shaking out, with the Texans on their way to, you know, with a potential 3-0, if they can get past those Patriots, and the Colts already starting out 0-2. Man, this is a real big game for the Texans to kind of separate themselves, because I still don't think the Titans or Jags are going to do anything. But if you can separate yourselves from those Colts a little bit, you're in really good shape. And this is a good opportunity that's presented itself for the Texans.
You know what the Dolphins are? They're just a better version of the Jaguars. That's all they are.
I don't even know if they're better.
They're a losing culture. They're a losing team. And they're going to find ways to lose games. Every now and then they'll show you enough to make you think that, oh, they've got some players. But that's what they've been now for 5, 6, 7 years,
yeah.
And that's what they are. And during the Tannehill era, that's basically all they've been. Ravens beat the Browns 25-20. The Browns had every chance to win that football game.
Boy, did they.
And really dominated early, and the Ravens just kind of kept chipping away. And, of course, Josh McCown's out there playing when he shouldn't have been. But Ravens pull it out, and you know, Browns another team that finds a way to lose.
Yeah, and kudos to the Ravens for it looked like they could have easily just packed up their bags and gone home. They were getting dominated and kept fighting. And, I mean, I think it was 20-2 at one point.
Yeah.
And just the Ravens didn't quit. And Joe Flacco had a really, really great second half. They have the best kicker in football and were able to make field goals that a lot of teams wouldn't have been able to make. And, you know, pull out a win that really looked bleak early on, because Josh McCown had a really, really hot start to that game. And Joe Flacco had a terrible start to that
yeah,
game,
but,
while I'm talking about him.
But he also got it together in the second half,
no
which he does. And I'll take guys who are better in the second half than the first half every day of the week. Panthers beat the 49ers 46-27. This one was the first time R.J. Bell has ever played a double-digit favorite. He took the Panthers.
Oh, I did too. I actually, watching that Rams 49ers game last week, when the 49ers were winning, I said, I hope they win impressively enough that it gets the line under 14. And it did.
It did.
And
yeah.
I cashed on it, because we know the 49ers are not good. Yeah, I mean, and
right.
somebody saw that game last week and said, you know what? 49ers aren't that bad. They're really bad. And if you watched the Panthers last week, you might have said, oh, Panthers are pretty weak. No, Panthers are still pretty good. So
yeah, it's just who they played and the situation they played and having to go
yep.
into Denver. I think if you play that game in Carolina, they might have won it. So
and really, the 49ers were able to hang with them for about a half.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of got out of hand.
Steelers beat the Bengals 24-16. Another one where there was a fumble that was called there at the end that they couldn't overturn because they couldn't see it. But Steelers are, I'm telling you, man, I like the Steelers team. They're playing better defense. I love their offense. I think they're going to be very good.
The Steelers are winning games on days where Antonio Brown gives you basically nothing.
Yeah.
And Le'Veon Bell is suspended. Well, it's going to get better. And that's against a good Bengals team. The Steelers are one of the most impressive teams so far, I think. And they're only going to get better when they get Le'Veon Bell back. And Antonio Brown is not going to be held to 39 yards very often. So kudos to the Bengals for kind of, I don't want to say shutting him down, but definitely holding him down a little bit yesterday and forcing Ben to spread it around a little bit. And offensively, they didn't have their best game, but they continue to impress defensively. The Bengals, 18 carries, 46 yards. That is not NFL quality football, and you're not gonna win games when that's what you get.
You know, we're seeing a lot of that early on, though.
Bad running of the football.
Yeah,
and terrible.
I don't know how much of it is maybe because they're not as able to practice as much if that's not affecting running games, but there's got to be a reason for it. Cardinals beat the Buccaneers 40-7. Not much to say about this one other than the Cardinals got right in a hurry.
Yeah, the Cardinals looked really good. The Buccaneers are, they're not awful, but they're not on Cardinals level, and Arizona actually made them look pretty bad yesterday.
All right, we'll get to the rest of them when we come back, but right now we need to take a quick break. Still several games to get to.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Two A Days in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, I think. Hopefully, we're back on The Blitz. Apologize, a little technical difficulty here as we broadcast live from Two A Days in Pearland. So if you're in Pearland, looking for a place, come grab a brew. After work, come on out, say hello. We'll be here till 7 o'clock doing the Blitz. We're also having a little internet trouble, but I think we've got it all sorted out. So hopefully things will be smooth from here. But if they're not, we'll just make the best of them. All right, so we need to finish the games. So
where were we, Fred?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get back on my phone to figure out. We're at Rams-Seahawks, where what an ugly game. And the Seahawks have, for some reason, the Rams are just a tough matchup for them. And
I think
part of it is Aaron Donald, guys like that, they just eat the Seahawks offensive lineup. And
yeah.
It makes it very difficult.
The Rams are a tough team to beat if your strength is running the football. And that's really what Seattle is. They're a running football team. And the Rams can take that away from you. The Seahawks, you would think, could have done some things through the air, but they were really ineffective. Russell Wilson doesn't look healthy.
No. And without a mobile Russell Wilson, they're in trouble.
They just
don't have much offense.
They're not good on offense, and I don't know if they're good enough. I mean, it's 2 weeks. They've got plenty of time to get better. But right now, I don't think they're good enough. They're going to have to be way better down the stretch if they're going to win. 3 points against the Rams is not acceptable. Just like last week when they won at the very end of the game, they were in position to do that again, and Christian Michael fumbled the ball.
Yeah.
It almost looked like it was going to be a repeat of last week, them driving down the field for a game-winning score, but they fumbled the ball, and it's not to be.
Falcons go in and beat the Raiders 35-28. I think the Raiders' Achilles heel this season is going to be their defense.
Yeah, which is funny because it looked like the Raiders' defense was going to be a little bit better, but they've struggled so far, and it's gonna especially struggle against teams that can chuck the ball around, and you know they had no answer for Julio Jones. That was a really fun, entertaining game to watch, but I'm with you. I think maybe the Raiders are still a couple of defensive pieces away from being a real contender.
And the Falcons finally got touchdowns in the red zone. That's been an issue with them going back to last year, and when they're able to do that, they're a very tough team. I think their defense has some issues as well. Chargers beat the Jaguars 38-14, and
boy, thank goodness for that late touchdown from the Jags, because that was the over for me. And it's hard when a team doesn't do anything for three quarters to get over 48 and a half, But the late Bortles touchdown saved me. Yeah, the Jags just were terrible. I mean, their offensive line is not good. Defensively, they're really bad. If the Chargers are doing that to you, you know it's not good, because the Chargers aren't very good, and they looked amazing yesterday. So the Chargers just had their way. No answer for the Jags until late in the game when it was already decided. So impressive win for the Chargers, and the Jags, I thought they'd be improved. I didn't think they were a playoff caliber. There's people who thought they were a playoff team.
I never.
They're not even close.
I never bought into them. And
they're awful on defense, and they're poorly coached. It's going to be tough for them to be good.
And I'm still not sold on Blake Bortles, and I've said that all along. I have an interesting stat for you. Here's an interesting stat.
Interesting stat. When it rained, Blake Bortles. Okay, go ahead. What's your interesting stat?
Would you like to know Gus Bradley's record? Through 50 games as the Jaguars head coach?
5-45.
12-38.
Close.
Do you know how bad that really is? According to Pro Football Talk, there have been 170 coaches in NFL history who coached at least 50 games. Out of those 170, you know where Bradley's winning percentage ranks? 169. The only coach with a worse record was Burt Bell, who coached the Eagles from 1936 to 1941. And the only reason he wasn't fired is he also was the Eagles' owner.
That's not good.
So, basically, unless you're the owner of a team, Gus Bradley, after 50 games, worst record as a coach in NFL history.
Not ideal.
Broncos beat the Colts 34-20, and the Broncos win it the way they've been winning football games. They get defensive touchdowns. They got some clutch plays on that side of the ball. They get a sack fumble on Andrew Luck late in the game. And if it gets to the fourth quarter and they've got the lead, they just find ways to win it on defense.
Yeah, Andrew Luck for a long time had been that guy that you'd go to in the fourth quarter, and he could play like crap for a whole game and then win it late. And yesterday he just couldn't get it going in the fourth quarter. And that was a really close competitive game almost all the way through. I'm not saying it's panic time for the Colts, but they've lost two games that, you know, the old Andrew Luck probably would have pulled off.
Yeah.
And just has been unable to. And you're seeing that it's hard to win football games when you've got one or two good players. And you can win a lot of games. It's hard to be a real contender that way. And the Colts had done it for a long time. It's not as easy as it used to be. And I don't know if Andrew Luck's enough anymore.
Kind of feel like he's just a younger version of Drew Brees right now. He's going to put up a bunch of numbers
and not win games.
But if they don't have,
quite possible,
if he doesn't get any help, they're not going to win games. Vikings-Packers last night, 17-14. Sam Bradford with the game of his life. That is the best statistical game he's ever had in his entire NFL
And the final
career.
Score was 17-14.
And the final score was 17-14. And Adrian Peterson's hurt. Don't know how long he's going to be out.
It looked bad, though. You got dudes. By the way, is that a stadium flaw where you have to be carried through a mall when you're injured before you can go?
I think that is a design flaw. Yes, I'm just
very strange.
Just speculating, but yeah. I worry a little bit about the Packers, because even going back to last year, and I don't know that it's not just a couple of games where Aaron Rodgers has been a little bit off, but he just doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers right now.
Well, their offensive line sucks.
Yeah,
they have no running game, and Eddie Lacy's not good. That's another guy that people try to convince you he's good. He's not good. He's still overweight. He could be good, I think, but yeah. He doesn't want to put himself in game shape. And behind that offensive line, he's just not good enough. And Aaron Rodgers, I don't know if it's turning into this. And I think, you know, he's got some. Not that Andrew Luck doesn't, but it's nice to have Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. But at some point, you've got to get some help from somebody, you know, running the football or protecting these guys. And the Packers are kind of like the Colts in that they don't have that. They don't have a running game. They don't have an offensive line. There's only so much that your superstar can do. You got to build around those guys.
And just on a few passes last night, not all of them, it just looks like he doesn't have quite the same zip on the ball. So I don't know if he's hurt a little bit or if he's just not quite up to speed yet. But he's one of those guys that I never worry about because he's Aaron Rodgers.
Because he's consistent, yeah.
And you know he's going to have some games. And he had a pretty good game last week against Jacksonville, but we know how awful Jacksonville is.
But the thing that's always been great about Aaron Rodgers and probably has made him the best quarterback in the league over the last 5 years is he doesn't turn the ball over ever.
Yeah.
And so far this year, he turns the ball over. And if he does that, it's not like he's a bad quarterback, but he's no longer
Aaron Rodgers.
Super elite, can carry a team quarterback, and that's what we saw last night.
All right.
And I don't the Vikings are good defensively. They're really good defensively.
That's a good team, man, I'm telling you.
But with no Adrian Peterson and a Sam Bradford quarterback situation, that team is not going to win long term. They're good defensively. They're not good enough to be without Adrian Peterson all year. There's no way.
My favorite thing was they were talking about, well, this will be the best running game Sam Bradford's ever had. Suddenly not.
No, nice try. Sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
By the way, who would you not say that about?
Right.
You put Adrian Peterson behind anybody. Well, this is the best running back he's ever had. Yeah, that's safe to say with pretty much every quarterback in the league. If Tom Brady moved to Minnesota tomorrow, well, it'd be the best running back situation he's ever had.
Yeah, that's anybody.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the game tonight?
I like the Bears. Okay. Situationally, it's a good spot for them. You know, this is a rookie quarterback's first road start, first home game for the Bears. I like the Bears in this game.
All right.
Well, I'll give three also.
Okay. Well, we are going to take a very quick break, but first, need to tell the people about what's going on at Kima.
What's going on the Kima Boardwalk. That's right. It's coming up, guys. It's a week from Saturday, so it's September 24th, this coming Saturday. 24 breweries sampling over 72 different craft beers, and there's a bunch of great breweries, a bunch of locals like Eighth Wonder, Carbach, Southern Star, St. Arnold, and then there's a bunch of nationals like New Belgium, Rogue, Ballast Point, Bear Republic. Ton of great brew out there, a ton of beers. And not only that, they're going to have some great food out there, some great live music. Tickets are $44.95 in advance. You can buy them online at KimaBeerFest.com. Military, you guys are only $39.95 on site. And your tickets include all the beer samples. There's going to be giveaways, beer brats, and live music from the fabulous Thunderbirds and the Slags. So there's going to be live music going on basically all day. It's the Kima Boardwalk Craft Beer Festival, Saturday, September 24th. That's this Saturday. Down there on the Kima Boardwalk, KimaBeerFest.com is the website to go for tickets. It's the Kima Boardwalk Craft Beer Fest, KimaBeerFest.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Let me try again to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, if you're in the market to upgrade your backyard, maybe you've got an old, ugly patio or a grayed-out pool deck, Allied Outdoor Solutions has your solution, and it's carved stone overlay. Carved stone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for way less money than it would cost you to tear everything out and start over. It's troweled, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete, and they stand behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank space, Allied will build from the ground up a functional concrete patio, or if you want to go big, you want to go with the outdoor kitchen and patio cover, they can do that as well, and they can help you on residential and commercial projects. They can also help you save some money, too. They've got several monthly payment options, even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for way less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom. That's my recommendation, because once you see this stuff in person with your own real eyes, you're going to want to get it. You're going to be blown away at what they can do with your backyard. Or you can check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow live from Two-A-Days in Pearland. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live here at Two-A-Days in Pearland, 50-cent wing night. So get on over here. In fact, it looks like it's going to rain yet again. So you need to be in a bar if it's raining. 832 says, amazing to hear y'all cop pleas for Luck and Rodgers. Can't be that they're not as great as you say they are, right? Must be everyone else around them.
Who's good?
No, but you know what?
If Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers aren't good, who is?
No, what's amazing is that you send a text like that when you didn't hear us criticize both of those guys. Dickweed. All right, let's go to our buddy Stanford Route.
former NFL cornerback, former University of Houston cornerback. You can follow him on Twitter at SROUTT26. What's up, Stanford? How you doing, buddy?
What's up? What's going on, guys? Hey, I love how you remember that double T.
Hey, man, you only got to tell me once. You only got to tell me once. Well, let's start with that Texans game because as a former defensive guy, you had to love the way that that game went defensively. How much of it was both these defenses just playing really well? How much of it was that the offenses were struggling?
I think it was a little bit of both. Kansas City came out obviously looking sloppy early on, you know, drop passes, overthrows by Alex Smith, but I also think that that was predicated on some of the pressure that Houston was getting up front with J.J., Merciless, Davion Clowney, all those boys. So I think it was a good game to watch, definitely fun, and Houston came out with a victory. And like I said last week, don't be surprised if Houston is representing the AFC at home in the Super Bowl in February.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that. Well, they get a nice test Thursday night, but obviously with Garoppolo out, this is an opportunity for them to go in and do something that they've frankly not been capable of doing, and that's beating New England in New England.
Yeah, they definitely, in my opinion, I think this is a must-win game. Not because that they're down in the standings or anything like that. They lead the division, but I think this game right here, they need to win this game just for their mental psyche. Just so they know that, you know what, we can beat the New England Patriots in New England, albeit without Tom Brady, most likely going to be without Garoppolo. But I think that this is the game that they need to win because, like I said, if you, where you're trying to go, you got to beat teams like this. They beat Kansas City yesterday. They're a team that's going to be in it deep down the stretch. So you have to win games like this, and it pays dividends in September when you because when you play them in January, things like that, you actually know that, you know what, we can beat this team because we beat them before.
You know, you mentioned the you have the Texans in the Super Bowl. Is it? Do you think that they have a – obviously you think they have a Super Bowl-quality defense. What about this defense stands out to you across the board?
No, I think anytime you have a pass rush, I think that you always have a chance. Look at the Denver Broncos. And I think that the secondary is really coming along. They're finding their footing, and everything's going well for them. Now, like I said, obviously, when I say Super Bowl, obviously that's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek. But I do think that in the AFC that outside of the New England, outside of the Denver, the obvious contenders that you see every year, I do think that Houston has a shot in a play here, a play there, going their way instead of the other way, like it has in years past. Man, like anything is possible, and I think the sky's the limit.
How important is it when you have early games like this against the Chiefs and against the Patriots to get wins? You start talking about home field later in the season, nobody's going to say that, oh, no Brady, no Garoppolo, the Texans have a win against the Patriots. How important are these games early?
I think it's great early because, like I said, it really helps you see where you're at. You know, last week they played the Chicago Bears. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. The Chicago Bears are not a good football team. They're not, plain and simple. So for them to win that game, there's nothing to ride home about. Only thing you can say is, hey, they won the game, just like University of Houston playing Lamar. But games like that against the Kansas City Chiefs and now coming up against the Patriots, where you're trying to go, you have to beat teams like that in the regular season because not only does, once again, it give you a chance for home field advantage, also it just helps you mentally because you know that, okay, you know what? I beat this team before. We beat this team before. We can do it again, albeit without the great Tom Brady. But I think I can't remember the last time the Houston Texans have won in New England, if ever for that matter. So games like that are big because you need that mental edge. You need it.
Stanford Rout, our guest, appears with us every Monday to talk a little NFL. One thing that kind of stood out again yesterday that as a negative, the Texans have struggled on special teams. How do you fix something like that? Is that a personnel thing? Is that a scheme thing? Is it a combination? How do you get better in coverage?
It's a combination of personnel and scheme, but special teams is all about wanting. That's really all it is. I remember in all my years playing, everybody's got good players. That's one thing for sure. You have your special players like Dante Hall, Devin Hester, you know, special return men like that, or even, you know, your special teamers, just like how they have Slater out there in New England or Bethel in Arizona. But among everything else, special teams is all about want to. It's all about want to, desire, and just getting down there and just going to make the play. So I don't think it's something that can't be fixed. It's just more so something that's just come down to want to. That's it.
I want to ask you about your alma mater, about those Cougars last Thursday. Were you worried?
Yeah. What'd you say?
Were you worried?
I'm not going to lie. There in the third quarter, I was a little worried because it seems like they came out flat. That's really what was worrying me the most. They came out flat, and that's one of those games where if you're not paying attention, the other team can sneak up on you just enough to get up out of there with that victory. Now, luckily, like I said, the fourth quarter came. They start putting the pedal to the metal. Greg Ward got two touchdowns, and they got two back-to-back pick sixes, which I love to see as a defensive back. And they came out there with a victory. But I think them coming out flat is what really, really made me nervous. So now, like I said, they got Texas State, and then they got a bunch of teams that they definitely should beat throughout the rest of the schedule. And it's all going to come down to November 17th. And that's that big red machine coming up out of there in Kentucky.
Man, those guys look unstoppable right now. Any thoughts on the game tonight between the Eagles and Bears?
Honestly, I probably won't even watch the game. I'm a fan of football. I really am. But, like, the Bears, just they're not a good team. They don't have Brandon Marshall anymore. They don't have Matt Forte anymore. Kevin White is coming along slow. And Alshon Jeffery is always kind of injury-prone here and there. The defense, they've lost a lot of players. Still, Vic Fangio, great defensive coordinator, so you always gotta give him much respect. But I'm not gonna lie to you, like tonight is just kind of like one of those games where it seems like it's gonna be a snooze fest. It'll be fun to watch Carson Wentz, see if he can go ahead and continue the progress that he made against Cleveland last week. But I know I shouldn't even be saying that, but it's the Bears and the Eagles. Like, come on.
5 months from now, you'll say, I wish I had the Bears and Eagles to watch tonight.
Yeah, you're right about that. I definitely can't argue with you there.
Pure communism, man. All right, that's Stanford Rowdy. Joins us every week, talks a little NFL with us. Stanford, as always, appreciate the time, my friend, and look forward to talking to you again next week.
Oh, yes. Thank you, guys. Be good.
All righty. We are out here at Two-A-Day Sports Bar in Pearland, and come on out if you're a Pearland Blitzer and you're looking for a place to come hang out for a little bit. We'll be here till 7 o'clock and just having a little fun out here. So before we go to break.
Got to tell you about Dirt Free, guys. Summertime is nearing an end. Well, at least the summertime weather is nearing an end. I don't know if it ever will end. But the kids and the pets, they've all tracked all kinds of gunk and dirt into your house. Your carpets, your floors are in need of a deep cleaning. And sometimes the vacuum cleaner, the mop, it's just not enough. That's where the pros at Dirt Free come in. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical free with Dirt Free. The other guys are leaving behind too much water, soapy residue, unhealthy chemicals that will trap dirt and allergens that can make your family sick. That's not the case with Dirt Free. They use powerful engines to create high pressure steam made from their patented super water, not toxic soaps. Those other guys, they're actually leaving your floors dirtier than they found them. That's unbelievable, but it's true. Dirt Free's been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard about it right here on ESPN 97.5, and they'll clean three rooms of carpet for just $99.95 and throw in a free speed dry to the first 25 callers. 281-DIRT-FREE, that's 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free cleaning.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, your home for Aggie sports. Stay sportsy.
Stay sportsy. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. We'll also have the HD show with Fred Davis and Henry Thomas.
I like to call him Freddie D.
Yeah. And Henry T?
Henry T.
That'll be at Max Place at 7 o'clock right after us. And we are out here at Two-A-Days in Pearland. So if you're in the area, come on out. Great place to watch the games. 713 says, the only thing worse than my hour drive home is you not reading the text I so skillfully and dangerously type. Maybe you shouldn't be texting while you're driving if it's that dangerous. Just a suggestion.
And there you go. You read your text.
I did, and I probably didn't see your others because we've been having internet issues, so take it personally.
Can we talk about the end of the Cal-Texas game?
We can. Can we do Gem of the Day first?
Oh, yeah. I forgot we had
Let's do these Adeye Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Adeye Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So I had two of my favorite type stories. One is old people misbehaving in Florida. But I wound up going with Canadian bear story.
Oh, boy. No shaking involved, right?
No shaking on this bear. Well, there may have been. We don't know. But a Saskatchewan man is lucky to be walking away with only claw marks on his arm and a sore back after encountering a bear in a remote area near La Ronge, Saskatchewan, Friday morning. At around 4 a.m., Jack Ballantyne, 44, was out drinking near La Ronge, which is about...
How close is that to Regina? Is the La Ronge near Regina?
No, it's probably...
Can it sniff it? Is it a sniff away?
Not quite.
No. Shake that bear.
It's actually north of Saskatoon, so it's probably about 5 hours from Regina.
Oof.
That's a long way to be away from a place like that.
Yeah.
Which is probably why he was out drinking and encountering a bear.
You can't even see it from there.
He says, all I remember is that the bear took a swipe at him, hit him, and he went flying. But he was able to fend the bear off by using a wine bottle.
Was it a full or empty wine
bottle? Well, it sounds like it was at least half empty because this guy was totally trashed.
Right.
But he said his hand was puffed up. He said he punched the bear in the nose. He did get a pretty big scratch on his arm. He was pretty stiff from being knocked over in the attack, but that's about it. He did have some internal bleeding also.
No big deal. But
yeah. I'd say he's really lucky. I don't know what he did, but he's very lucky, and we're all relieved to see that he was okay.
There's too many people who have encounters with bears. I feel like I would just avoid bear areas.
Well, yeah. And I've been to Saskatoon. That's not that far from there. I don't want to be around any bears. I'm not going to be wandering around out in the middle of nowhere with a bottle of wine trying to fend off bears with
it.
So that is your...
Bears in Canada are like hobos here.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere.
Like, you don't just walk through a group of hobos in the middle of the night carrying a half-empty bottle of wine. That could lead to trouble. Same with bears.
Bears are
Canadian hobos. I think that's what it boils down to.
Or the equivalent of...
You know who should do something about the bear problem in Canada? The Mounties.
Yeah?
Otherwise, they have no real use.
That's probably true. They smile really nicely when you get off the airport.
Stop the bears, will you?
Stop the bears, and we need to stop the snakes down here.
Oh, yeah. Canada, our snake problem Canada laughs at.
Yeah, that's yours.
The bears eat the snakes in Canada.
Well,
I don't think that's true, but they probably would if they found one.
They don't have a lot of poisonous snakes up there. They have snakes, and they look mean. There's some really big ones that look mean, but they're not poisonous.
But if a bear found a snake, it would just eat it.
Yeah, I would think so. You just kind of bash his head on a rock and then eat him.
But we don't have bears here wandering the streets just to eat whatever snakes they find. Maybe we need bears.
I don't know.
So torn on bears, really.
Well,
I do like the Bears -3 tonight.
Okay, well, there you go. Then you're not torn at all.
Yeah, for sure.
That's your Adeye Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day, it's the gem of the day, the Adeye Jeweler gem of the day.
Take that bear.
God.
I feel gross every time I hear that.
Take that bear. Take that bear.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, buddy. So we do have a lot of college football to get to, including I want to get to Texas. I want to get to A&M. And we need to talk about the Emmys next hour, too, because I thought there were some good selections this year for a change. Actually, most years they get it right. But
a lot of love for Thrones this year, for sure.
Deservedly so, I think. But we'll definitely do that. We got time, though, to talk a little bit about the Texas game because that was Now, the weird play at the end, and I kind of feel like that, well, yeah, they sort of got screwed, but then you shouldn't have let the guy run for the touchdown anyway.
Yeah, listen, this is not me defending Texas. Texas didn't deserve to win that game. They played like crap. Defensively, they are pretty awful. That we've seen that over the course of the season so far. And I honestly, the way things were going, I don't know if they would have scored anyway.
Yeah.
You know, had they been given the opportunity. But I'm pretty sure they should have been given the opportunity. And I don't know what constitutes an immediate recovery, But if you drop the ball on the 1 yard line as the runner and it rolls into the end zone, and by the way, the person who picked it up, which it was
UT guy,
less than 3 seconds later, played for Texas and hands the ball to the referee. I don't know what an immediate recovery is, but he was the first guy to touch it. A lot of players ran past that ball. Dylan Haynes reached down, picked it up, handed it to an official. How Cal gets the ball on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
The ball didn't stop at the 1 yard. That's where it was fumbled, but then it rolled into the end zone.
Was it not a touchback?
It's a touchback. And I guess the officiating crew says that it's a judgment call on what constitutes an immediate recovery. But like I said, less than 3 seconds, it seems immediate enough. I mean, especially when several Cal players walked by it, could have picked it up, and didn't.
Yeah. They were in the back celebrating what they thought was a touchdown.
And there was no inadvertent whistle. They ruled it a touchdown. So I guess what they're saying is if the first Texas player to run by it had jumped on the ball, then maybe it was a different subject or different conversation. But for that ball to stop where it did in the end zone, maybe it's just not a clear understanding of the rules for me. It seems more likely that they just got it wrong. But that should be a touchback.
I agree.
And not a ball on the one. And again, I don't know that Texas would have won. There wasn't a lot of time left. And furthermore, Texas didn't really deserve to win.
Yeah, well, why are you letting that guy get loose and run for that touchdown in that situation anyway? You've got to sell out and stop the run at that point.
But that's a tough way to lose. And again, it's kind of a fluke that it happened. And that gets to the next point of why does this happen so often? Why do so many people drop the ball as soon as they get to the end zone? And it makes no sense to me, but it happened. And every other time I've seen it happen, it's a touchback.
I've never seen that ruling. I have to say, in all my years of watching football, I've never seen that ruling. And somebody brings up a good point. Don't punt with 2 minutes left down seven.
Well, that's another stupid call.
Yeah.
And listen, I think Charlie Strong is one of these guys who's loyal to his assistants, but they're not going to win anything with that Vance Bedford defense. They're just not. And it's almost Manny Diaz-ish. If you remember the Texas defense under Manny Diaz.
I remember it well.
It's very similar. And they've got good players. Hell, they've got one of the best defensive players in football on that team, and Malik Jefferson. But they are not schemed well. They do not stop the pass well. They do not stop big plays well. It's just not good, and they've got to figure something out. And if they're going to turn this season into what they hoped it would be, which is sort of a turnaround, right the ship season where they can win 8 or 9 games, they're going to have to get way better on defense, because Cal is good, but they're not that good.
Maybe they just need a vacation.
Maybe they
need to get away for the holidays. And this holiday season, spend your time relaxing on the beach instead of cooking and cleaning up after your relatives or watching running backs just destroy your defense. I found an amazing getaway at an even more amazing price. The Pineapple Beach Club in Antigua. Right now, about this, $99 a person per night. You can enjoy an adults-only, all-inclusive holiday getaway on a white sandy beach. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to make your reservation today. This is all-inclusive, meals, snacks, beverages, yes, even the alcohol. Come on, Blitzers, you can't tell me you can't do $99 a day worth of alcohol, and you get the room and everything else with it. Resort activities, all taxes and service charges. They've got 365 beaches. It's located in the Caribbean, the largest English-speaking leeward island. It is just a really cool place, and for less than $100 a day, an amazing way to get out. And maybe you're planning a wedding and you want to go do it someplace and your whole group wants to go. Here's a great way to do it at a very affordable rate. If you're ready to leave the chaos behind this year and get some well-deserved R&R, don't wait. This offer expires soon. Go to pineapplebeachclub.com or call 800-772-8711 to book your all-inclusive holiday. For less than $100 per night per person, ages 16 and up, you can enjoy everything I just mentioned and more. That's pineapplebeachclub.com. You don't want to miss out on this offer. See the website for complete details.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.